Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really looking forward to this interview. There is a story. Did you say you found this in the New York Times?
The title grabbed my attention like this, and it just said, Finding God in the App Store.
So listen to this. The faith tech industry is booming, powered by chatbots on religious apps that are rocketing to the top of Apple's App Store. Bible Chat, which is a Christian app, has more than 30 million downloads. Hallo, a Catholic app, beat Netflix, Instagram, and TikTok for the number one spot in the store at one point last year. In China, people are using DeepSeek to try to decode their fortunes. The apps are attracting tens of millions of dollars in investments, and people are paying up to $70 a year for their subscription. Let me just give you an example with how these conversations go. You're in the app. All right, whether it's Hello or Bible Chat, whatever, you write, Hi, God. God, and I'm using air quotes, of course, writes back, Greetings, my child. The future is in God's merciful hands. Do you trust in his divine plan? Amen. Yes, this person writes back. God, again, air quotes, writes back, Indeed, my child, the future can often seem daunting, but remember, God holds it in his hands.
The chatbots are actually designed to mimic religious figures or even God, providing responses based on religious texts, offering a new form of spiritual engagement. They will even take your confession. However, as you can imagine, this has raised some concerns as well.
Joining us is the pastor for Resurrection in Leawood, good friend of the program, Adam Hamilton. Pastor, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Hey, thank John you David. For being here on such short notice.
Sure. It's always great to talk to you guys. I love you guys.
So first, what does it say, Pastor, that so many tens of millions of people around the world are turning to technology? I had never heard the term the technology chat until I read this article. I didn't even know there was religious tech, as Scott just mentioned.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be too surprising. I mean, I think people, when they, you know, when they're not feeling well, they go online to figure out, and now they can use AI to say, hey, I feel this way, I have these symptoms, what do you think it could be? And AI is going to spit back possible answers for them. And so I don't think it's surprising that people might, especially if you don't feel connected with a group or a faith community, where somebody might reach out to God by means of AI to see, you know, what kind of answers might be out there. So it's not totally surprising to me. And I think it has some value if you're careful, in my opinion. I went online today after I saw the article just to test it out myself. You know, I thought, okay, I'm going to see how this works.
And yeah,
I can't remember the site I went to, but it was kind of interesting to type in some questions or concerns and see what came out.
Is it not a little bit sacrilegious though, in your opinion, if someone is, and it's not someone, it, let's be honest, it's AI, is mimicking God, is pretending to speak as God. I mean, how is that not, from a religious, somebody in a position like yours, how do you view that as anything but sacrilegious?
Yeah, I think the ones where it's God speaking as if it's, or really if it's even comes across as a person speaking, I don't think that's so helpful. And especially if the AI is speaking in the voice of God, I would say that really would be sacrilegious, or, you know, at least in my mind, it's really hard to say that you could say God, you know, that you should look at that as God speaking. I think what some of them have done is they might collate the Bible. They might take the entire biblical text. And you might ask a question. I'd rather have somebody say, what does the Bible say? And then the chatbot could give you back, here's a variety of scriptures that might answer your question. But when it takes the first person, you know, personal, like I, God, am saying this to you, I think that could be very unhealthy for people spiritually. But the idea that you might search for answers using AI, I think has some value. I'll just, as an example, though, when you search, when I did some searches like this, what you find is typically the answers are fairly superficial, and they're often things that you would often, they might be scriptures that you would know already. Mm-hmm. And and I think the New York Times article mentioned they tend to be affirming. So they're going to try to be affirming and, you know, and relatively superficial. But that's not terrible. I just don't like the idea of it being God, you know, as though it's God's voice.
In first person.
Exactly. I think that's not helpful. And then another thing to be aware of is just, you know, garbage in, garbage out. You want to narrow down your, you know, the scope in which AI is searching information because, you know, again, there's all kinds of religion out there. There's some that's positive and some that's healthy and helpful, and there's some that's harmful and hurtful. And so generally it's, you know, the vast majority of, say, Christian information hopefully would be positive. But even there, you've got very differing perspectives. You got far left liberal, you got far right conservative, and you got a whole bunch of people in between. So I think the degree to which you can narrow it down and say, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I would like to know, you know, what does the Catholic Church or what might be Catholic answers to this theological question or to my personal spiritual question. And that'll give you, you know, if you're Catholic, that might give you some you know, good feedback based on thousands of Catholic sermons they might have been analyzed. Or if you're Southern Baptist or if you're United Methodist. And so that can begin to help some narrow it down. And that's true in any kind of AI search.
One of the women they interviewed for the article said, look, you don't want to bother your pastor at 3 a.m. And I'm guessing you would agree with that, Pastor Hamilton.
Yeah, when people call me at 3 a.m. to ask me a silly question, that would not be good.
Yeah,
but,
correct.
But at the same time, you know, at 3 a.m., if somebody's in crisis, I mean, it can be helpful, but I think the key thing is engage your critical thinking whenever you're tying into AI. AI is only, it's only algorithms and machine learning, and it can't, and that's true when it's, you know, when it comes to health too. You know, it's one thing to ask AI to give you a diagnosis on something, but you better see a doctor too.
Yes.
And I also think, you know, some of these are, they can be comforting, like, you know, how are you tonight, my child? Are you feeling okay or whatever? But remember, you're talking to a machine, and somewhere along the way, you actually need a friend, somebody with skin on, who's good. And I think about when people send prayer emojis to each other. You know, it's one thing to send a prayer emoji; it's another thing to show up with a meal at somebody's house and give them a hug.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think the technology can replace that, but it can be helpful as far as it goes.
But, Pastor, what does that tell you as to where we are as a society that people are, for lack of a better term, turning to technology almost as if it is an Adam Hamilton or God himself or herself, whatever God is. What does that tell you?
Well, I think a lot of us are, I mean, our technology, we carry it with us all the time. You know, we have it with us late at night when we can't sleep.
Yep.
And I think it's easy for us to, and I don't know that that's necessarily bad. I do think we're over-technologized, if you will. You know, we're way too dependent on our technology. But again, everything can be good or bad, right? I mean, it can be used in a way that's helpful. Like, are there scriptures that might help me understand suffering? Or are there scriptures that might help me when I'm afraid? That can be really powerful. All of a sudden, you've got a whole bunch of scriptures about fear and how to overcome fear. But if you're counting on that being your, you know, understanding, and I think about this when it comes to meeting with people. When I'm sitting with somebody and I'm looking in their eyes, I can see things I can't see just over the phone. Or when I, you know, when you have a chance again to hold somebody's hands in a moment or to, you know their history and their story, it's different than if you're just typing something into AI.
I love this quote, and this is from the founder of Bible Chat. She says, people come to us with all different types of challenges, mental health issues, well-being, emotional problems, work problems, money problems. And then someone plugged in this question, Pastor, why am I poor yet others are rich? And the reply that they got, that they highlight in the New York Times article, goes back to scripture. And so I think that can be helpful, like you said, but I'm also uncomfortable with people in a mental health crisis, especially our teenagers, turning to any kind of chatbot for that. We've seen very dark outcomes there.
Well, and Pastor,
I think that's right.
And Pastor, I'm with you. If it's an app or an AI generated response, that if you were to go to it and say, I'm afraid, What does the Bible say about me being afraid? Yeah. Or I don't feel worthy, you know, of the things in my life. I'm petrified for my children or my parents or whatever. If it generated and gave you passages in the Bible that might be able to help you in that regard, I'm fine with that. Yeah. But like you, the idea that an AI chatbot is mimicking God and is all but pretending to, well, not all but pretending to be the voice of God, I've got a real problem with that.
No, I think that's right. I think you should. I think it's, again, it's a resource, but what pretends to be God and people read it or hear it as God, that I think is not a helpful and can actually be harmful. And even when it comes to scripture, you know, you have to interpret scripture. You have to understand what's the historical context of that particular verse or this verse. And if you don't have that, you know, you can take a scripture and you can run with it in a way that it was never intended to be run with.
Because
so I think those are...
Pastor, we know technology can be good because of how many people think about it that tune in who are maybe homebound or can't get to resurrection, who tune in on their laptops or whatever to hear what you have to say each week.
Yeah, that's a huge blessing. I mean, there are so many people who are able to worship today who couldn't before. Either they were out of town, they're sick in the hospital, they're, you know, whatever it might be. That's a huge gift that we have. So technology is, again, a great blessing, but we have to be able to, you know, critically engage it. We have to be able to recognize its limitations. And I think the same is true with AI. I don't think we even have a clue yet where AI is completely going, but the ability to go, okay, remember, this is a machine. It's algorithms. It doesn't know me. It can't understand or even rightly interpret scripture. It's collating a bunch of words that are online and then trying to spit out something that makes some sense.
Pastor,
it's going to be relatively superficial in the answers it's going to give.
As we go to break and let you go here, thank you for your time. What would you have done if you had asked the question of ChatGPT and it said, Pastor Hamilton?
Yes, well, Lord, it's me. I'm right here.
Exactly.
What up?
I appreciate you guys so much. Y'all have a great day today.
All right, you be well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that is Pastor Adam Hamilton with Resurrection Church in Leawood.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.